We've been taking some time to speak with the candidate seeking the Democratic presidential nomination this fall. Today, Carol Mosley Braun, the former senator from Illinois. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
With Congress focused on Medicare, it seems natural to begin our conversation with your ambitious proposal for universal health coverage. Your plan would provide quality health care for the uninsured without placing an additional burden on American taxpayers. That's quite a feat. How will you do this?
Simply by having universal comprehensive coverage that reduces the kind of transaction costs and the anomalies of the current system in ways that will allow us to have to rationalize the payment and insurance system and provide comprehensive care. This already exists. It is already in place for federal employees. The FEHBP, Federal Employment Health Benefits Program, allows consumers to have a choice of essentially carriers. Physicians are allowed to make decisions about health care once again, and it's all paid through a single payer system.
Who would actually administer the plan?
Well, in much the same way as the FEHBP operates, the existing program, what they do is essentially contract out. So the same insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Aetna, and consumers get a chance to choose which carrier they want. The difference is that they serve the role as administrators as opposed to the role of insurers because the risk premium comes out of the equation.
On to Iraq, if we could. You said earlier this month, at this point, America has an obligation not to cut and run in Iraq, to stay and at least leave the country in no worse condition than it was in when we found it. If elected, what would you do to speed the transition of power to Iraqis and to bring stability to that country?
Well, at the outset, you should know that I oppose the war on several grounds. One was constitutional, that Article 1, Section 8 calls on the Congress to issue declarations of war. That hasn't happened since World War II, but the fact is we have to get back to the constitutional requirements if we are going to avoid slipping into these arbitrary, unilateral, preemptive kind of military actions. That's the first point. The second point is that at the time when before we went in, I was just appalled, frankly, at the way our traditional allies were being treated and the way our international institutions, such as the United Nations, were being mistreated. Having said that, however, I think it is important that having blown up Iraq, we have a responsibility to at least leave it as good as, you know, in as good a shape as we found it. And that means we're going to have to stay there and stabilize the country at least until the chaos abates somewhat and we can actually get boots on the ground from our allies around the world as well as international organizations to get the United Nations Blue Helmets back in. We need to bring all the assets we can to bear on giving us some relief on the ground so that we can begin to bring our fighting men and women home.
For both parties, the road to the White House leads straight through Illinois. Conventional wisdom, particularly for Democrats, is that they cannot take the White House without also taking the state of Illinois. And the people of Illinois voted you out of office. So this is a particular challenge for you. How do you deal with that?
Well, the people of Illinois kind of did. I mean, I lost. The good news, I lost narrowly. I lost by less than 2% of the vote.
Kind of. I mean, they.
Well,
didn't
I
win
know
your
I was going to make.
Bit.
I didn't win re-election, Michelle, but I didn't. I lost very narrowly in that race after Karl Rove made $800,000 to defeat me. But I'm happy to say that for all of the money, I was outspent 3-1 in that race, 3-1, and for all of that, I still only lost by less than 2% of the vote. So I feel very comfortable that I will do well in my home state. And frankly, all the polls that are taken in my home state show me way ahead of the pack and in good shape at home.
Do you have a campaign staff in Iowa and New Hampshire?
I have volunteers. I have a wholly volunteer operation in all of the key primary states.
Most candidates, you know, depend on victories or strong showings in these early contests to propel their campaigns forward. Mm-hmm. Without that, how will you build momentum in your campaign?
What I don't understand what you're suggesting. I'm looking forward to victories in these early states. Well, that's the whole point. I mean, I have every indication that our operations are going to be sufficient to make the grade. And let me say this, Michelle, because underneath your comments is the notion that somehow or another this campaign, that this is not a legitimate candidacy. And I just want to cut to the chase. I've never been given a chance to win election. When I ran for office the first time as state representative back in 1978. I was told, don't run, you can't possibly win. Well, I didn't listen then. I threw my hat in the ring and I won, and I came in handily in what was called the first year of the woman. When I ran for the United States Senate, I had to win two elections there, and I won in both those cases after being told that there was no way that I could possibly get elected to the United States Senate. I have every expectation that all I can do is to do the best I can do, to put myself out there, to fundraise as people will respond, and to do the best I can to get our message out.
Thanks so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you.
Carol Moseley Braun, a former senator from Illinois and former U.S. ambassador to New Zealand, speaking to us about her campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination.